Today's shiur starts Be'ez Hashem at the bottom of Daf Samach Tes Amid Beis with the words Bayidab. At the end of yesterday's shiur, we learned in a Bayit from Rav Shimon Bar Pazi. His shaila was, what happens to something that we replant? We take a fruit, a seed, a kernel, a flower, anything that has developed, and we put it back into the ground, and it continues to grow. Is this the ikar, the original thing, that just gets bigger? Or do we view this as additional entities being added to the original source? Well, my nafkamina, we learned several nafkaminas in yesterday's shiur. If for whatever reason the original source was us, and what continued to grow would be mutter, or the other way around, the original source was mutter, and what continued to grow would be us. Example, if we took an arla fruit and grafted it with good fruit, and it continued to grow. The original source is aser. As it's getting bigger, what is being added is mutter. If we took something that was before the aymer, something that took root before the aymer, and therefore is not chadash, it's mutter, and we planted it after the aymer, and it continues to grow, the new growth is chadash, is aser. So you can have a source. The source can grow. And we have to know, is the growth considered part of the source? In other words, Basar Iker is Lina. Or is the growth considered a separate entity? If the growth was a separate entity, then we're dealing with a situation of Isser and Heter that are mixed together, and you have to know what would be Mevatel the other. If the growth is considered part of the Iker, if when you take an arla fruit and you plant it in Heter, or you graft it in Heter, and it continues to grow, if I say this is nothing but the source, the arla fruit that is getting bigger and bigger, doesn't make a difference how much it grows afterwards. It may grow 200 times the amount. It's still the original Isser that's just getting bigger and bigger. It's not a separate entity that could be mevatel the source. While in yesterday's shiur we cleared the shaila in regard to Oimer, in regard to Arla, in regard to Klayim, Boy Rabbi asks the shaila, Leinyan Meiser Mai. How do we view this in regard to Meiser? What are the specifics of Rabbi's shaila? And for the Gemara, Kigan, for example, and we go now to the top of Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, the Amdinu V'Asinu. Literally, Amdinu, we calculated the amount of Maisers that has to be taken, the Asrinu, and indeed we took off the Maiser. So the person pulled out a plant from the ground, every plant that grows in that Yisrael is Tevel, until proper Trumasi Maisers are taken, and he calculated, evaluated how much Maisers have to be taken, took that Maisers. Vishaslinu, when he put it back into the ground, the Yisifalu, and it continued to grow. The reason we have this Lashon Amdinu, which usually refers to a subjective evaluation, not an accurate one, is because when one pulls an ear of corn out of the ground and he figures out Maisris, that is an extremely difficult calculation to make. Because this is full of straw, full of shells, so he can only sort of take an educated guess about what the Maisris should be. That's what Amdinu means, a subjective calculation. But that's what he did. He took out the one ear of corn, figured out approximately what the maaser should be, took the maaser off, puts it back into the ground, and it continues to grow. So here apparently is another perfect example of our shaila. Once he takes off maasers, this ear of corn is mutter. It's perfect. Now he puts it back into the ground. So what happens over here when it continues to grow? Do I say basar ikar as lina? It's just the hatred ikar, piece of corn that continues to grow, Mimela, there is no need to be mafresh any additional maisis. Or do I say what continues to grow is a separate entity, and mimela, as far as this separate entity is concerned, we are yet to be mafresh trumas and maisis from it. The imtim salaiman, if you're going to say indeed, let us assume this lechomra. Loyas linam basarika. We will not go basarika. We will not say that the continued growth is merely the source, which in this case is mutter, getting bigger and bigger. Rather, what continues to grow is considered a separate entity. And therefore, this separate entity would require its own hafrasha of trumasi maisers. V'teisefes b'yasuri. What continues to grow would need its own maisers. Iker mai. What would be the halacha in regard to the iker itself? The tefua that I took out, maisered, and put back in. When I take this out again, do we have to be mafresh maisers again? Let us forget the continued growth. Suppose it didn't grow anymore at all. It's the same size. But the fact that I put it back into the ground, does that mean it becomes bottled to the earth, and any trumasi maisis that I took off beforehand has nothing to do with what I'm taking out now? Now I'm cutting new tefillah. So this is Rabbi Shaila. basically the same Shilas we had yesterday? Something that grows, is that an extension of the Iker, or is it considered something new? And the Nela, if you pluck something out, took off Trumasi Maestris and put it back in, do we have to take off Maestris again? Amalei Abayis Abayis HaTarabah Maestri Mikol Chiti Vesari Diyam. Why should this be different than any normal case of planting wheat or barley? What happens when a person plants wheat or barley? He takes seed, puts it into the ground, so he's taking a piece of wheat, puts it into the ground, and wheat grows. Now the wheat that he puts into the ground is gemaisa, trumasi maises were taken from it, despite that once it goes into the ground and something else grows, you have to be mafish trumasi maises. So why should this be any different? Amalei, so Rabbi told him, apparently you don't understand what I'm asking. In ordinary cases where you plant seeds of wheat and the seed decays and then something else grows, there's no shail over there, of course. The something else that grows is a new thing. It's a new crop. And of course you have to be mafish trumasi maises. That seed that you already took trumasi maises from decayed in the earth. Elakika mabayli, my shail is in regard to davasha ein zari kala. When you plant something and that something is not decaying, that same thing continues to grow, continues to sprout forth. Now, I was mafish trumasi maises from this already. So do I have to do it again because I put it into the earth again? Now let's put Rabbi Shaila into perspective. I have something growing. I take it out, mafish maises, put it back into the ground, and it continues to grow. If I say basar ikar azlinan, that it's all part of the original thing, although it continues to grow, I don't have to take off any additional maises. The second stage of Rabbi Shaila is, assuming that you don't say basar ikar azlinan, and what continues to grow is valid something else altogether, and the mele for that you have to be mafish trumasi maises. What would the halacha be in regard to the ikar? The second time I pull out this ear of corn, this much bigger ear of corn, do I only have to take off maises for the tesafis, for the part that continued to grow, or do I also have to re-miser the whole thing, the ikar as well? Because any trumasi maises that I took off prior to this, prior to putting it into the ground, has no effect any longer. Once it goes into the ground, the whole thing becomes something else. That is his shaila. Zok de Gemara, Tivshidlei, perhaps we could be poshed this Ivaya, we could answer the shaila, Mihad the Yomar of Yitzchak, Amar of Yoichanan, from the Halacha that of Yitzchak, Amar of Yoichanan taught us. Litra box, litra is a measurement. He had a litra of onions. Shateknoi, he took his onions, took off proper trumasi maestris, Vizari, and instead of using it now, he planted them once again. When he takes it out the second time, Mesaisel Afikula, he has to take off Maestris for the entire litra of onions. And he cannot say, I'm just going to be mafish now a tenth of what grew extra. The nature of onions are Ein Zarei Kala. The seed does not decay. So this is the perfect example for Rabbi Shaila. Here you have something where the seed does not decay. I have something that I took Trumasi Maestris off, put it back into the ground, and when it comes up again, I have to assume that absolutely nothing was done. I have to take off trumasi maises for the entire new crop, and I cannot deduct the original. However, the Gemara is not satisfied. Zok de Gemara, it's not an analogy. Hasum of Reba the onions, hainu zriyasai. This is the normal way, the usual manner of planting onions. Mamela, once you plant it again and the new thing grows, so of course you can't deduct the previous trumasi maises. If that would be the case, so forever after, from the very first person that was mafish trumasi maises until Mashiach comes, everybody will keep deducting. Of course, it's just a guzma, but al kopanim, the point is, if that's the derech of zriya, so it's understood, the new crop has its own chiyuv of trumasi maises. But hach over here again, lav hainu zriyasai. To pluck out an ear of corn, take off maises, and put it back in, that is not the normal course of growth. This isn't really a new crop that came up. I intercepted this crop in the middle, and I did something with it. I took off trumasi maises at that point. And now I put it back into the ground, and Rava wants to know, by putting it back into the ground, does that totally start the process all over again, and the Mela, I now have to be mafish trumasi maises on whatever I take from the ground, as if though I never touched it. Amar Rav Chanina bar Minayumi Liabaya. Atzitz she'enoi nakev mahu. What is the halacha in regard to a flower pot without a hole at the bottom? Without the perforation at the bottom, it does not draw any energy from the ground. And memela, midiraisa, anything growing in this kind of a flower pot is not mechuyev in maestros. And this is a shaila, mahu, what is the halacha? So Abaye said to him, I don't understand what you're asking. Eloi nakev, if you're telling me that it doesn't have a hole, so eloi nakev, it doesn't have a hole, so it's pashit. It doesn't draw any energy from the ground, and everybody knows that if it doesn't draw any energy from the ground, it's not mechuyev in maestros. So surely, said Abaye, obviously you mean something else over here. Dilma, perhaps what you mean to ask is, chazav in nakva ka'amrit. And your shaila is as follows. I have an atzitz she'ein nakav that has no hole in it. And things grow in this. And in the course of the growth of the vegetables or whatever is growing in this pot, he makes a hole at the bottom and puts it down on the ground. So now we have two shailas. First of all, are we mechuyev to be mafish maises for things that grow in this pot? When it started growing, it was not mechuyev in maises. On the other hand, at one point in its growth, it was connected to the ground. So this is just another example of our original shaila. Do we say baser ikar eslina? What continues to grow is merely the source getting bigger and bigger. And being that the source over here, the original sprouting, is something that is not mechuyev in maestros, we merely have something that is not mechuyev in maestros that gets bigger and bigger. Or do we say that Tosafos is considered a separate entity, and the male of being that some part of this growth comes from the ground, there is a chiyuv for maestros on that part. Furthermore, there is a second stage to this shaila, the same as we had in the previous case. Let us suppose, for argument's sake, that we won't go baser ikar. What continues to grow is considered a separate entity, and the male there is a chiyuv to be mafish trumasi maestros from what continued to grow. How do I work being mafish maestros now from this flower pot? I can't just pull out any part of the plant, because if technically I'm pulling out the ikar part of the plant, the part that grew here originally, that's not mechuyev maestros, because at that point it was not connected to the ground yet. And you cannot be mafish min aptur al chiyuv. Or maybe we take this a step further, and we say that being that at one point in its development it was connected to the ground, the name of that changes the entire structure. And even as far as the ikar is concerned, it becomes something that's mechuyev in maestros. So in a sense, we're asking the same as we asked previously. Number one, what is the din about the Tosafos? Is the Tosafos what grew extra is that mechuyev in maestros? And stage two of the Abaye is, what about the whole ikar? How do we view the whole flower pot? Just like in the previous case, we had it sad to say that you are mechuyev to be mafish maestros on the ikar as well. Maybe here too you should be mechuyev to be mafish maestros on the whole flower pot, even on what grew before the whole. This is how Abaye suggested to the Chanina bar Minayumi, perhaps this is what you meant to ask. And the male Abaye responded that this case is not at all similar to the previous case of removing the ear of corn, taking off maestros, and putting it back in. Hark over here, chadaz rihi. Here, b'yatzim, in the flower pot, there was only one planting. But in the midst of the growth, ichburehu dekumechaber, it got connected to the ground. And the other continues to grow. But the fact is, we're still looking at one plant, one growth. At one point, it started to draw energy from the ground. So fine. There's a chiyuv of maestros when you have any plant that draws energy from the ground. It may have started from the ground. It may have only taken root into the ground in the midst of its development. It doesn't make a difference. It's still one planting where somewhere along the line it draws kayach from the ground. The male of the whole thing could be mechuyev in maestros. But this is not similar to the previous case. Hashem over there, where he takes out an ear of corn, takes off maestros and puts it back in, stays riesninu. There are two separate plantings. When I put this in for a second time, so it's a whole new planting. So here there's a strong svara to say that this does not destroy what I did to start with. The fact is, what I pulled out, I took off maestros from, now I put it back into the ground. So I have to see what was added over here with my second planting. But it's not compared to the case of the Yatzis Nakev. We recently explained that the chiyuv of maestros comes in two stages. When the baby reaches a certain stage in its development, different crops respectfully, they are Higia Leonis Maestros. We have now entered phase number one. In phase number one, Higia Leonis Maestros, it is prohibited to eat from these peiros any type of achilas kvar. It's all right to eat an achilas ayroi, it's all right to take a snack from these peiros. By that same token, it's all right to feed an animal from these peiros, even though it is Higia Leonis Maestros, provided that we don't sit down and eat a full meal from these peiros. The second stage of maestros, where it becomes complete tevel, in the sense
that even temporary achila is asa, this could come in a variety of ways. If the peiros are intended for household use, then bring them through the door, is koveya them for the final issur of maestros, even achila seroy is asa. Or that same token, cooking them would, Shabbos would. The mere fact that Shabbos comes around for household peiros, they become kavua l'maisa. However, if the peiros are intended, not for household use, but as most klap is, intended for sale in the market, then phase two, the complete iser tavel is chal at the time of miruach. Miruach means when you make nice and even piles, when you even out the piles. It's so with a certain kind of an instrument. But akopanim, that is the gemar malacha. Now the peiros are finished, all work has been completed, this is tavel, we can't do a thing with these peiros until we are mafish trumasi maestros. Even achilas aroi is awesome. We have an ear of corn which had been in the pile while it was smoothed off. So as far as this ear of corn is concerned, it is tevel gomer, even achilas aroyizos. Instead of doing things the right way, which would be now to remove some from the pile and say this is trumasi maestros, this particular individual first went to the shasla and replanted it. And only afterwards, the karel el shem b'mechuber, he designated the Shabbilis that he replanted as Truma while it was still in the soil. So now, what is the halacha? Does this become Truma or doesn't it become Truma? What are the respective arguments over here? One argument would be, Kivin de Marcha, Tavala. As soon as he smoothed out the pile, then whatever he had over here is Mamish Tavel. It's ready for Truma Simaisis. So being that any part of this pile could potentially become the Truma, so kikar la Hashem, kachala. So the fact that he put it into the ground first and then was kai Hashem on it shouldn't change anything. This was part of the pile. Or perhaps, you can do whatever you want with it after you take it off from the pile, as long as you don't put it back into the ground. Kivan de shasla, once he puts it back into the ground, pakale tivlamine, it's no longer considered tevel. It's no longer considered the kind of thing that you can take truma from. The same way you cannot be mafish trumasi maestros from any crop while it's still in the ground before you cut it, you can't use this as truma either, because for some reason he put it back into the ground. That's a bavol shaila. Amile rabbanu yavayis, the rabbanu said to Abai, assuming the first argument, that after miruach it doesn't lose its krius lamayis, so even if you put it back into the ground, in Cain, mitzinu truma b'mechuba l'karka, so it turns out it's possible to be mafish truma even while it's still connected to the ground. This being an example of it. And we know that that is not the case, because it's now we learned in the Mishnah that loy mitzinu truma b'mechuba l'karka. We don't have truma while it's still attached to the ground. The only way to be mafish truma is to be mafish truma with something that is no longer connected to the ground. Amalei, so Abai said to them, no, there's no kasher from that. Kitanya hi li inyan ichiyuve misa v'chaymish. If a zar eats truma, he's chayiv misa v'deshamayim, he is also chayiv to pay back the kayin not only the principal, but an additional fifth. Now, that chiyuv is only for truma that is detached from the ground. Because one is only chayiv if he eats it in a normal fashion of eating. Therefore, de'i talish the yachal, if somebody first cuts it off, plucks it out, and then eats it, so talish, so that's a normal way of eating. And the mele, being that he's a czar and he's eating truma, he is chayiv misa v'deshamayim, and he is chayiv to give the kayin the extra chaynish. However, if somebody would eat truma, not in the normal way of eating, the igachin, the achol, if he would bend down and sort of chew it or bite it right from the ground while it's still connected to the ground, so bat l'datei eitzel kaladam. He may consider this eating, but as far as we are concerned, we will apply normal measures over here, and by normal standards, this is not the way to eat. Memela, when that Mishnah says, le'metzinu truma v'chov l'karka, that Mishnah doesn't mean that it's impossible to designate something as truma while it's connected to the ground. If you take something after miruach and put it back into the ground, you could be kaya shame on it as truma. That mission just means that if somebody eats truma connected to the ground, he is not chayiv misa v'deshamayim or the chayish. Frank the Gemara Mishna, why should this be any different with the concept of a pinkus of the Ilfa, from the halacha that was found in Ilfa's diaries or Ilfa's notebook? Ilfa's the name of an amir. What halacha was found in Ilfa's pinkus? Beye nivlas oif tar. If we have the egg of an avelas oif tar, mitzasan bechutz or mitzasan bifnim. Now what happened over here is as follows. A kosher bird died in the middle of laying an egg. Being that it died without shechita, of course it is an avel. Now an avelas oif tar is a very unique halacha. It is Netame Begadim Abdes Habliya. Mamela, we have to know what the halacha with this egg is. If the egg is considered part of the nevela, so as soon as somebody swallows the egg, his begadim become tame. And this is the halacha that was found in Ilfasis Pinkus. Let's see the Gemara inside. Deye nevelas ha'oif ha'tahar, the egg of a nevelas ha'oif ha'tahar. Miksasim b'chutz, as the bird died, part of the egg was outside, u'miksasim b'fnim, part of the egg was inside. So we have to know what the status of this egg is. If the egg is considered nevela, then by somebody swallowing it, automatically his begadim become tame. So the halacha is as follows. May b'fnim, the part of the egg that is inside mitamin begadim abeis ha'bliya, he and his begadim will become tame as soon as he swallows it. May b'chutz, the part of the egg that is outside, just for swallowing that, ein mitamin begadim abeis ha'bliya, he and his begadim will not become tame. And Rashi explains this as follows. If he somehow manages to eat the egg out of the bird without taking it out, that's called nibisnim. And he is mitame, he is begadim abeis ha'bliya. If, on the other hand, he first removes the egg and then eats it, it's not mitame. In other words, we are not saying over here that the outside part of the egg is tar and the inside part of the egg is tame. We are saying, the way Rashi learns once again, mebisnim, if he eats the egg out of the bird directly, mitamin begadim abeis ha'bliya. But if he first takes the egg out, mebichutz, ein mitamin begadim abeis ha'bliya, even if he eats the whole egg after he takes it out, including the part that was inside the bird as it died. Taisus calls this a hokus of belay time, and this is beyond our comprehension. We don't know the reason for this. Because in Manashach, is the egg nevela or is it not nevela? What difference does it make where he eats the egg? The same egg, if he eats it inside the bird, if he somehow sticks his head in, then he becomes tummy. If he takes the egg out, he's not tummy. There's a certain tahara on the egg by taking it out. So Taisus learns different than Rashi. Taisus says, l'maisa of the egg is divided in half. The inside part of the egg is tameh, and that's why when he sticks his head in and eats it, he's tameh. And the outside part of the egg is tahar. And even if he takes out the whole egg, the part that was inside still remains tameh. When we say over here that when he takes out the egg, he can eat it and he is tahar, we're referring to the outside part of the egg. Now what is the chiddush? The chiddush is that I would think that the chazal would make a gzeir over here. It's very hard to remember which side of the egg was inside and which side of the egg was outside. So despite that, Ilfa says, no, if you stick your head in and eat it, it's pasha tummy, because you're eating the inside part. Even if he takes the whole egg out, if he somehow marked it off and knows which side of the egg was inside and which side of the egg was outside, he could still eat the outside part. But akopanim, it really doesn't make much of a difference b'negeya us, if we learn like Rashi or we learn like Taisus. Both of them say that if he sticks his head into the bird and eats the egg, he is tummy. Now, if it's not normal to eat something that is mechubal l'kaka and chew it off, this doesn't seem quite normal either. So if we're saying that bat l'date is l'daf kaladam, and if somebody does strange things, it doesn't constitute a chila, even though he may think it does, so we should apply that same over here and say he shouldn't be tame for eating the inside part of the bird, because this shouldn't constitute a chila. This is a strange act, bat l'date is l'daf kaladam. And to the Gemara, no, somehow there is a difference. Talush azidi inish di achli hachi. If it's not connected to the ground, if it's in a bird, there are cooks, there are chefs that work with fowls, work with chickens or turkeys all day long, and if they see an egg, sometimes they may eat it right out of the bird, pick up the bird and just eat out the egg. That people do. We can't say it's normal, but it's normal enough to say that if somebody does do it, it constitutes a chila. The mechuvah, but something that is not tall, or something that is connected to the ground, lo yazidi inchi diachli. Nobody walks around on fields and eats laying down, chewing straight from the ground. The Mela, getting back to what we started with, B'yatem, if you take a piece of tula out of a pile and put it back into the ground, you can be kairishem truma on it, and it's called truma. Aye, the Mishnah says that anything that is mechubal l'karka is not truma. That means the negeya eating truma. The penalties for eating truma, misa b'dei shemayim and the chayimish, that does not apply to eating from the ground, because that is not a normal manner of achil. Now the Gemara concludes the sugya with one more halacha about an atzitz she'enoi makas. Amar Rav Tiviyumi bar Kisna Amar Shmuel. Hazireya klayim, the atzitz she'enoi makas. Somebody takes all kinds of diversified seeds and he plants them together in a pot, but a pot that has no hole, a pot that draws no energy from the ground. The halacha is that what does grow in this pot, asr, still remains asr. Now the shayla is, what is the chiddush that he is trying to teach us? Amar Abayim. Bishlaima granted, yes, Me'inan, if he would tell me that Loikim Makas Mardis Midrabanan, if he were to tell me that when a person plants Klayim in a pot without a hole in it, that he is Chayiv the Malkus Mardis, the special Malkus for being over certain Drabanans, whether the Drabanans felt a need to reinforce their Tekanics, that would be a Chiddush, because not every Drabanan results in Malkus Mardis. Ella Aser, but just to tell me that you can't do it, that you can't plant even in an unperforated pot, Klayim, Maikim Ashbulon, what's the Chiddush? You're telling me the Midrabanan have Yezriyat Midrabanan even in unperforated pot, even where the pot doesn't draw energy from the ground, it constitutes Zriyat? Tanina, we learned at the Seish. We learned, Tara Misha Einay Nakav Al Hanakav. If somebody is Mafrish Truma, using something which grew in an artist She'einay Nakav, in an unperforated pot, to be massacring that that grew in a perforated pot, the halacha is Truma. L'maisa, what he set aside from the artist She'einay Nakav, has the stringencies of Truma. We consider it Truma. But despite that, the Yachs of the Yitzchum, he has to be Mafish Truma once again for what grew in the Atzitz Nakav. In other words, L'maisa, the fact is, he was Mafish, what we call Menaptor Alachiv. He took something that is not Mechoyiv and Truma Midiuraisa because it grew in the Atzitz She'einay Nakav, and he used that to be Masak in something which is Chayiv and Truma Midiuraisa, something that grew in the Atzitz Nakav. So as far as satisfying the obligation of Truma is concerned, he did nothing, because Menaptur al-Achiv is not valid. However, being that we are applying the Chumra over here, and we're saying L'maisa, what he set aside from the Yatzitz She'einay Nakav, is considered Truma, despite the fact that it will have to be Mafish Truma again. So you see that Midrabanan, planting even in an unperforated pot, even in an Yatzitz She'einay Nakav that draws no energy from the ground, is considered Truma. So Memela, what is the Chiddush that the claim would be offered? So although according to the Meskan of this Gemara, Abai is saying, if you would be telling me that he is Chayiv Makas Mardis for planting Klayim in a pot, that would be a Chiddush. But just to tell me that it's also, that's no Chiddush. So it's mashma that he did not say that he is Chayiv Makas Mardis. Had he said so, it would have been a Chiddush. Now the Rambam Paskins, Hilch of Klayim, Perikei, Lachat Tazayit, V'chein is Erei Abiyotis Shein Einokif, Hamunach Bekerem, Loi Kiddush, doesn't come off in Midi Raisa, however, Umakin Oisei Makas Mardis. So the Rambam assumed that there is Makas Mardis, there is a Didaban and the Gemakas, for one that plants in a pot. So that's somewhat of a shaila. Where does the Rambam see in our Gemara that indeed there is a chiyuv of Makas Mardis? If anything, it's mashma that it's just us, so there is no chiyuv of Makas Mardis. That was the tain of the Gemara, that there's not enough of a chiddush over here. The Kesef of Mishnah says that the Rambam probably based it not on this Gemara, but on a Mishnah in the Masechta of Klayim. The Mishnah in Klayim says, as they are the Yatzitz She'einay Nakav Hamunach Bekerem Loi Kiddush. So Loi Kiddush is mashma, it doesn't get the full brunt of the Diuraisa, but it's Vadei Mechuyev with the full stringencies of a Drabanan, including Makas Mardis. That's how the Rambam understands that Mishnah. Now that being the case, that at least in that Mishnah in Klayim, from the Lashon of Loi Kiddush, we clearly see there is an Issa Drabanan, the Fafemis asks, so why does Al Gemara over here bring a Raya from a Truma Mishnah? Why not go straight to the Mishnah in Klayim to show that there's at least an Issa Drabanan with the Zia? And the Sosema suggests various tirutzim, but it still remains unclear how the Rambam could say there is Vadi Achiv of Makas Mardis when it's Mashma from Al Gemara that Rav Tiviyumi Bar Kisner Davki used the word Aser as to say it's just Aser, but there is no Makas Mardis. Others want to suggest that the Rambam is talking about a different case altogether. Al Gemara is talking about Hazadeya Klayim Biyotzitz Shiene Nakas. I have a flower pot on my kitchen table, nowhere near a vineyard, nowhere near any karka, nowhere near any crops, and I take different kinds of seeds, and I plant it together. For this, the Gemara says it's Aser, because even in an Atzitz She'einay Nakav, there was an Iser Midrabanan, but there was no Makas Mardis. The Rambam is talking about, and it's clearly Mashma that way from the Lashon Rambam, that somebody takes an Atzitz She'einay Nakav, full of vegetables, and he actually places it in a real vineyard, in a kerem. Now, in a Hanami, there was no Iser D'Raisa over here, because there's no hole at the bottom of the flower pot, so although it's sitting in the kerem, it's not drawing any energy from the ground. But the fact still remains, we have much closer to a real Klayim setting. We have a real live Kerem over here, and a flower pot with different seeds sitting on that Kerem. There's a technicality, a bottom to the pot, which saves it from the Issa D'Raisa. But being that it's so close to what could be an Issa D'Raisa, not only is it also Midrabanan, but indeed the Rambam is Medayik from the Mishnah in Klayim, that there would be Makas Mardis over here as well. Mashenkin, in our case, where we also have an Issa Klayim Midrabanan, of planting diversified seeds in a flower pot,
But a flower pot sitting on a table with all different kinds of seeds in it is not as close to the Daraisa as the other cases. And the Mela, perhaps the Dafka over here, it's Mashma from Al Gemara, that while indeed it is Asam Midrabanan, there may not be Makas Maris for it. The next Mishnah is what we would call a Shas Mishnah. It is a Mishnah that appears in its exact form in Masechtas Chala, similar Mishnah in Masechtas Pesachim, and basically it is a Mishnah that puts all different kinds of crap into perspective. Now that pertains to many different kinds of halachas, like being Mafresh Chala, and over here in regard to the Yomer, what to make matzah out of, and so on. Zok the Mishnah, the following are the Chameshas Minei Dagon, Hachit and V'Yasayrim, wheat and barley, the akus and mashibolus, shul, spelt, and oats, the ashifan, and rye. These are the chameshas minei dagan, hari elu chayavin b'chalan. If somebody makes a dough out of any of these minin, he has to be mafish chal. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, umitztarfin zeim ze. You can combine these minin. There has to be a shear, the dough has to be a certain size before it's chayav b'chalan. And you can combine some of these minin with others to get that shear. Another halacha that pertains to these minin, that should be the gears over here. In regard to all five of these minim, we cannot eat from the year's new crop until after the Omer. In addition to the Yisrael Achila, the Mishnah continues, the gears over here should be Pesach. The words Omer and Pesach are mixed up in the Mishnah. There is an issue to cut it before Pesach, that is, to applying across the board for all chameshes haminim. In his Shri Shu Kaidim Li Omer, if they took root before the Omer, who Omer Matiwan, and the Omer is Matirit. The Imlav, however, if they didn't make it in time, if they did not take root before the Yomer, then again, this applies to all of the Chameshas Haminim, assuming they are Asur and Shiyava Yomer Haba, until the next Yomer, which of course will be a year later. Tana Zakti Gemara, Kusmin mean Chitim. Kusmin are actually a kind of wheat. Kusmin is a sort of a wild kind of a crop of wheat, the kind that may grow in deserts or places of lack. The other two, on the other hand, Shibailas Shul of the Shifine, Minsa'irin, they are closer to the barley family. And again, Shibailas Shul of the Shifine would be called sort of a wild barley. Now, the Mishnah gave us a blanket statement, Umitztarfin Zamze. Any of these minim can be combined with other ones. So it's Mashma. It doesn't make a difference what tier I have. Any one of these five, if I combine it for the required five-quarter calf, which is the shear of challah, then I have a chiyuv to be mafish challah. The Braisa, however, does not make it as comprehensive. The Braisa says some of these minim can be combined with others, but it isn't necessarily that any one of these five can be combined. Rashi explains it isn't that the Braisa is arguing with the Mishnah, the Braisa is explaining the Mishnah. When our Mishnah says, Umtstarfin Zamze, it means, as we teach in the Mishnah, some of the minim can be combined with the others. For instance, as the Braisa said, Kusman is a kind of Chitin, Shebai Lashul and Shifin are a kind of Siyot. That's Rashi's chat. Taisus, however, doesn't make it quite as simple. Taisus says it depends where. The Mishnah is talking about one case, and the Braisa is talking about a different case. The Mishnah is talking about a case where somebody takes these various different kinds of chameshes mini dagon, and he makes one dough out of it. Here, indeed, the halacha is umitztarfin zamzeh. You can use any of the five to combine one dough and have the shir challah. The Braisa, on the other hand, says Taisus, is talking about a different case. The Braisa is talking about where somebody took these five different kinds of flour, made separate doughs out of them, and then combined it. This is not as solid of a mixture as mixing flour together. This is taking pieces of dough and putting them together. Being that over here, the different elements of the mixture are more distinct, only certain ones of the minim can be combined with others. Kosmen are a kind of chitim, the rest are a kind of siyayim. So according to Taisus, the Braisa is not being massaged the Mishnah, the Braisa is not arguing with the Mishnah. The Braisa is a case of mixing doughs, the Mishnah is a case of mixing flour. Now, Tosfos also says that the Lashon should be not Tana Kusmin min chitin, but Kusmin is af min chitin. In other words, everything over here, with the exception of chitin, of course, is in the barley family. And the Mela, as far as barley is concerned, they can all be mixed. Kusmin is the one thing that has both advantages. In a way, it's a kind of barley, in a way, it's a kind of wheat. And therefore, Kusmin could also be mixed with wheat. So according to Taisus and the Raya from the Yishalmi, the breakdown of the Chameshas Mini Dagan are all four, besides for Chitim, are in the barley family, with the exception of Kusmin, that is both in the barley family and the Chitim family, and a Melet could be mixed with both. Chitim, wheat, stands by itself. Now that we understand how the Chameshas Mini Dagan work together, the Gemara tells us what they are. Kusmin, we turn to Amud Beis. This is Gulba. Gulba is an Aramaic word. We translate it as spelt, and we see that in Rashi also. Rashi has the old French word aspalta, apparently similar to the word spelt. Shifain, this is Dishra. Why? Shibayla Shul is Shivulei Tyler. Rashi says Uvaina, apparently again similar to the word oats. Akopan, in fact, the Gemara Hanien only in regard to these five minim, but Oyez Vedeichen Lai, in regard to rice and millet, there is no Chiyav Chala. Well, not any milling. How do we know that? And for the Gemara Amar Ashlakish, Asya Lechem Lechem Imatza. We learn Xeir Shava, the words Lechem Lechem, from Chala to Matza. Ksivach, the Pasuk says over here, in regard to Chala, V'hoyab Yachochem Mi Lechem Hoaretz, then you should take off Chala, the word Lechem. The Ksivhasim, the Pasuk says, in regard to Matza, it has to be Lechem Aini. Now, just like in regard to matzah, we know a person is not yoitza, the mitzvah of matzah, if he makes matzah out of oiz v'daichen, out of rice or millet. The same is true for challah. There is no chiyuv to be mafresh challah for rice and daichen. The truth of the matter is, we know that oiz and daichen is rice and millet, but we are not clear which is which, and that's one of the reasons that there's somewhat of a suffix bracha on rice. Because the Gemara says, on one we make a bariyamina mezainis, then on the other, and we aren't sure which is which. Al kopan. The reason that there is no chiyuv challah for oiz and daichen is because we learn Xer Shabbat to Matzah, and one is not Yaitzah, the mitzvah of Matzah with Ayaz and Daichen. However, what we did not see yet is how we know one is not Yaitzah, the mitzvah of Matzah with Ayaz and Daichen. Frag the Gemara, we have some goof in the Nola. How do we know in regard to Matzah, one is not Yaitzah with a rice Matzah? Amad Ashlakash, Rechain Tana de Bey, Rabbi Shmoel, Rechain Tana de Bey, Rabbi Eliezer, Ben Yaakov, they all say, Yamakra, the Pasuk says, Loi Seichelol of Chametz, Shivas Yam and Teichelol of Matzahs, Lechemoin. But what we're looking for in this pasuk is the fact that not eating chametz and eating matzah are put side by side to teach us. Dvarim habayim l'dei chametz. Only something that could become chametz. Adam yaitzah ben yidei chavasi d'pesach. If a person made matzah out of that, preventing that this particular flour should not become chametz, he is yaitzah the mitzvah of matzah. So ironically, you can only have a kosher matzah made out of something that could potentially be chametz. Yatzu Elu, with the exception of Oyrez and Daichen, she'ein bar l'dei chimetz. Even if you would let it, it simply would not become chametz. Elu de sirchen. Rather, it would just decay, but it would never rise. Memela, you can't have matzah out of Oyrez and Daichen. And if you can't have matzah out of Oyrez and Daichen, there's no chiyuv chal. Incidentally, the truth is, it is not ironic that you could only be yoitz and matzah out of something that could become chametz. The Chidah explains the concept of chametz is in retrospect to the Yetzahara, and that is why we are Machmer by chametz so much more than in regard to other isurim, and the whole tafkid, the objective of matzah is to turn the Yetzirah around and to do mitzvahs. Namely, you have to be tafkid have something that could become chametz, watch it that it shouldn't, and with this we are Yetzirah the mitzvah of matzah. Akopan, and back to our sogi, umitztarfin ze im ze. The various different kinds of chameshas mine dagen become mitzuraf one with another. Tana says the Gemara, we learned in a braisa hatfu a wheat, or for that matter, barley, any of the other chameshas mine dagan as they are, raw. The akmachim, and after you turn it into flour. The abitzakers, and after they become a dough. Mitzarif and zem zeh, you can be mitzarif one with another to form a shear. To form a shear for what? We can't say we're talking about challah because we are not mafresh challah from flour. And definitely not from the tefuah. You're only mafresh challah from a dough. So b'negei what is the b'daisa telling us? That the tefuah, kamachim, and betzekas become mitzurif. So we have several different opinions. Number of kahana, of kahana says l'inyan chadsh. Somebody eats a combined kezayis of tefuah in its raw form, flour and a dough, and this is from the new tefuah before the yomer. He's chayiv. Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yosef says l'inyan chametz bepesach. Somebody would eat a combined kezayis of wheat, flour, and dough. He would be chayiv. The point over here is that even raw wheat, when it's soaked in water, will become chametz. So chametz isn't necessarily bread, chametz isn't necessarily dough or flour, it could even be wheat. Rav Papa says, l'inyan ma'aser sheni. The Braisa tells me over here that you can combine these three things in regard to ma'aser sheni, the achala, if somebody eats a combined kezayis of ma'aser sheni, made up of tfuah, k'machim, and betzegos, chutz l'chayim, outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, lucky he gets malchus. Rabba says, l'inyan tumas oichlet. The Barais is telling me you can be mitzarif these three things in regard to Tumas Eichlet. Now we have to understand as follows. An Eichlet that is royal Kabbal Tumah will become Tumah regardless of how small it is. It could be a tiny particle as big as a speck of dust. It'll become Tumah. But in order for an eichel to become so tame that it should transmit the tumah further, it should be metame, then it has to have a shear. It has to be as big as a bay, as big as an egg. So on the surface, the Rava seems to be saying that if you have different kinds of food, some in the form of tfuah, some in the form of flour, some in the form of dough, you can combine it for the egg. But that can't be the chiddush. Because the halacha in regard to tumas eichlin is, even if you have different kinds of food that have absolutely no shaychas to each other whatsoever, you can have wheat and you can have meat, and you can combine it together to be the tami of the eichlin. So tumas eichlin does not need a tzirif. Any kind of food adds up for the beya. So clearly, if you have mamish the same thing, but just in different forms, like tfuah, kmachim, and betzekas, of course it becomes mitzorif. So what is the chiddush according to Rav, that tfuah, kmachim, and betzekas are mitzdarfinly in yet tumas eichlin? So the Gemara of HaKamash, the chiddush over here is something else altogether. This b'raisa is teaching us that tfuah, the kmachim, dumya de betzekas. Tfuah and kmachim can be considered eichlin as far as transmitting tumah is concerned, however, only if they are just like the dough. Mahasam, just like the dough, uchla b'yena, is clearly eichel. In other words, there is nothing in the dough that still has to come off. There is nothing in the dough that is not royal yechila. So Rav Al-Hanami, here too, in the case of the tefuah, and in the case of the flour, uchla b'yena. Anything that is not royal yechila in the wheat or the flour has to be taken off. The grain must be peeled of the husk, and the flour has to be free from subim, from any kind of bran. If it is not, then it simply will not be metame. Rashi explains that in order to have a kebeya of tumas eichlin, it's true, the kebeya doesn't have to be made up of similar kinds of food, but they have to at least be touching each other. And if you have grain full of husk, or you have flour full of bran, then the flour is not touching each other. The bran is the chatzitza, and the same is true for the grain. The husk keeps being masik. I could have a barrel full of flour. But if it's a mixture of flour and bran, it's very possible that you don't have at any one point in this barrel full, or even in a truckload full, of a kebeya of pure flour touching each other. And therefore, both in regard to the flour and in regard to the grain, it has to be dumya to the dough, or royal yachila, peeled and sifted. Incidentally, the Mishnah Melech points out over here that Tosfos Mechulin disagrees with Rashi. From Rashi to Mashma, that if I would have enough grain touching each other, without the husk in the way, then by touching each other, it becomes mitzorif to form the kebeya. Tosfos Mechulin says that the pieces of grain are separate particles. The fact that they are touching each other is not enough to consider it one unit. Rather, what you have to have is some moisture over there that sort of glues it together. But akopana, whatever the case may be, the chiddush of the b'raisa, according to this, is that the tfuah and the kmachin, the grain and the flour, have to be daimed to the betzekos. It has to be all royal yachila. It has to be peeled and sifted. The Hatanya, says the Gemara, this is one of those instances where the Hatanya is not a kasha. Rather, this substantiates and even explains. Chita, in regard to wheat, bein klufa, bein she'ena klufa, in regard to the grain of wheat, whether it is peeled or not, it becomes mitzoref. It's the refs. Siyayu, it is the grain of barley that we say, klupa only if it is peeled. Mitzar Efes, can you be mitzaref, the pieces of barley? She'ena klupa, but if it's not peeled and the husk is in the way, ain't mitzar Efes. Rashi explains that the husk or the peel of wheat grain is soft and royally achila. Therefore, the husk itself constitutes eichel. In regard to the barley, however, the husk is hard, it's not royally achila, it doesn't constitute an eichel. Memela, it'll always be a chatzitza, it'll always be a hefsik to allow pieces of barley to come together and form a kebeya. Vekta gemarayni, but it's not like that. I can show you that even the husk of barley is combined. The pasuk says, "V'chayipo minivlasam al kol zera zerua asher yizrei tarhi." If any tumah would fall on any plant that a person plants, al kol zera zerua asher yizrei tarhu. The only time it becomes tameh is if water would fall on it or any of the shiva mashkin, then it becomes royal kabel tumah. So akupanim, what are we talking about when we are discussing tumah seichlim? We're talking about zera zerua asher yizrei. The atana debate of Yishmael, the debate of Yishmael dashins, al kol zera zerua asher yizrei, this pasuk is telling me what makes up tumah seichlim. It's not necessarily what a person would eat, it's what a person would plant. Kidach shebnei adam mitzien lezriah, in the same manner that a person uses this grain for planting, and he does so chita b'klipasa, wheat with its husk, or sa'ir b'klipasa, the grain of barley with the peel on it, the adashim b'klipasa, and then lentils with their klipa. If a person takes this out for planting, then all of this is betami tumas eichlin. So here you have a beferisha b'raisa, that even though there is no shayla that the husk of siyayrim is not royally achila, it's still betami tumas eichlin. And for the gemara like ash, havalachis havayaveshis, it depends if it's wet or dry. And there are two pshatim over here in Rashi to explain the difference between wet and dry. One pshat is, as we mentioned previously, and this is the second pshat in Rashi, if it's moist, it becomes soft. And when it becomes soft, it's royal yachila. That's the kind of husk the Tanna Bedevi Shmuel is referring to. When it's dry, it becomes hard, it's not royal yachila. And that's what this Baraisa is referring to, when the Baraisa says that that would be the akev the sa'ayim of coming together and forming a kebeya. Rashi does not prefer this pshat. Rather, Rashi says that the difference between lachis and yaveshais is in regard to the shomer concept. The Gemara Darshan's in Chol and Perigoravia write that the lav dafka, do you have to have an oichel for it to be considered tumas eichlin? But anything that protects the oichel, it's a shomer for the oichel, it's also included in the oichel. The husks of wheat grain are soft, they don't fall off the wheat. Memela, they're always there protecting the eichel, thus becoming a shomer, and a shomer is mitzur for tumas eichlin. On the other hand, the husks of barley grain are hard, so they crack off. So you can't really consider it a shomer for the eichel. Something is not a shomer if it doesn't stay around. Memela, this does not become a tzur for tumas eichlin. Sakti Maravaitin, the Mishnah we learned in regard to all the chameshos mini dagan mentioned, the asuin bechadash me lifnei ha-pesach. Whereas the correct girsa should be the asuin bechadash me lifnei hu-aymer. The issue of chadash, which is not to eat new tfuah before the akravas hu-aymer, applies exclusively to the chameshos mini dagan. Sakti Gemara Menahani Mili, how do we know this? Amar Esh Lakish, the same kind of Gzeir Shavah we had to teach us that only in regard to the chameshos mini dagan is there a chiv of a frash of challah? As we learn, Exeter Shava of Lechem, Lechem, Mimatza. In regard to Chadash, the Pasuk says Lechem, Kali the Karmel. In regard to Matzah, we also have Lechem, Lechem, Oini. Just like in regard to Matzah, the only thing a person could deyotze Matzah with is something that could potentially become Chametz, something that would rise, and that is only the Chameshus Mini Dagan, excluding Oyez the Daichen. The same is true for the Yisr Chadash. The Yisr Chadash applies only to things that a person could deyotze the mitzvah of Matzah with. In the Mishnah we learned the Liktzar Lifnei HaPesach, and as explained in the Mishnah, the Gersa over here should not be Lifnei Huaymer, but rather Lifnei HaPesach. There is an Iser to cut any of the Chameshos Mini Dagan before Pesach. Fekti Gemara Minahani Mili, how do we know this Iser? Amar Rav Yochanan, Asya Reishis Reishis Mechala, Gzeir Shava Reishis Reishis from Chala. In regard to the Chadash, the Pasuk says Reishis Kitzirchem. In regard to Chala, the Pasuk says Reishis Arisai Seichem. The chiyuv of a frash of challah applies exclusively to the chameshos mini dagan, and therefore we learn that the iser of cutting before Pesach also applies to the chameshos mini dagan, the five kinds of grain. The next piece of Gemara runs entirely different routes according to the respective shitas of Rashi and Taisus. We will first see it with the Rashi's pshat, and then be'ez Hashem go back and learn the Gemara according to Taisus. The following is Rashi's pshat. In the Mishnah we learned, one is prohibited to eat any of the new chameshos mini dagan up until the time of the oimer. In fact, the Gemara Maikaidim li oimer. This is somewhat of a vague statement. What does that mean, up until the time of the oimer? What aspect of the oimer? Rabbi Yosi bar Zavda, that's the gears of the Shita, Rabbi Yosi bar Zavda instead of Rabbi Yoina. Rabbi Yosi bar Zavda says it means Kaidim Ktsiras oimer. And the way Rashi learns this, it means we are also to eat any tefuah until the morning of the 16th. And that is somewhat of a daichik in Rashi's pshat, but l'maisa, that's what Rashi learns. Tzirasu Aymer means morning, because technically the time to cut the Aymer was at night, Matzah Pesach. But this man, the Aymer, states Rashi emphatically, does not mean that Matzah Pesach you can eat Chadash. Hivadai means the morning. After the time of Tzirasu Aymer, the time to cut the Aymer is at night, so the next morning, that's when you can eat it. The other man, the Yomer, says, we have the Gersa of Yosi bar Zavda, the Shita's Gersa of Yoinomer, of Yoina says, Kaidem Avasa Weimer. There is no such hatter, not while the Beis HaMikdash is standing. You cannot eat any new Chadash in the morning, you have to wait until they are actually makriv the Yoimer. That's the Machlokes according to Rashi. One man, the Yomer, says, morning is the green light to eat, and the other man, the Yomer, says, Havasa Weimer. Frek the Gemara, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, two time frames. Asuin the Chadash, there is an Isser Achila, to eat the Chadash. Lifnei ha'oimer, that's the gears from the Shita. Up until the Oimer, you cannot eat.
And for that matter, Velikza, there is an issue to cut Lifnei HaPesach up until Pesach. Again, the gears of the sheet. So the Mishnah gives us clearly two different time frames. Pesach, for Tzidas HaOimer, that's the Heter. And Oimer is the green light for Achilas HaOimer. Now, Bishloimer granted, Lamandiyama Kaidim Havas HaOimer. According to Lamandiyama, that says, the Heter Achila, the green light to eat, is the Akrava of the Oimer. Haimi de Loika Arv Lahu, the Tani Lahu. That is why the Mishnah didn't make one statement out of it. Because there are two separate time frames. Ktsir is mutter matziyamtiv, and achil is not mutter until the next day, well into the day, when they are mak of the oimer. So the Mishnah says two things. Heter ktsir, that's Pesach. Heter achil, that's avas oimer. El mandi yomer kaidim ktsir su oimer. But according to the mandi yomer, who learns isra achila up until the oimer means up until after the time that they caught the oimer, as Rashi explains, this means the morning. So liyav niu, well, it's niu. So the Mishnah should have put it all together and taught us one halacha. Asurin b'chadash, it is asur to eat chadash, v'liksa, and as well it is asur to cut the nutfua, lifnei ha-pesach. Now she says the girsa should be lifnei ha-oimer. The Mishnah wouldn't say lifnei ha-pesach, that would be confusing. In referring to an isur k'tzira, you can say lifnei ha-pesach, because we know it vade means matzah pesach. Nobody could cut their tfua on the first day of Pesach. But if we're referring to both isur k'tzira and isur achila, the Lashon Lifnei HaPesach may be misleading. We may think you can eat on the first day of Pesach. So the Gers over here should be Lifnei HaOimer, but the point that the Gemara is making is as follows. Whatever the case may be, if you're Gers HaOimer or Pesach, the Mishnah makes two separate time frames. One is Pesach, that's for the Yisr Tzira. One is Oimer, that's for the Yisr Achil. Now, if you're going to tell me I can't eat the new Tfuah until we are actually Mak of the Oimer, and I know I can start cutting the new Tfuah, Mitzray Pesach, so the Mishnah makes two separate time frames. There's a big time distance between the night and the next day during the day when they're Mak of the Karban. However, according to the other Mandiyama, that it's all right to start eating the Tfuah right as soon as the sun comes up on the morning of the 16th. Do you know when sometimes they would cut the Oimer, says Rashi? Sometimes they cut the Oimer a couple of minutes before sunrise. So the Heter Achila and the Heter Ktsira come virtually simultaneously. The Heter Ktsira is at night, and the Heter Achila is in the morning. But I can't cut my tefillah until they cut theirs, and sometimes they cut theirs right before the morning. And as soon as the morning comes, you can eat it. So according to this Mandiyama, the Mishnah wouldn't make a whole separate time zone by saying, Isra Ktsira, that goes until Pesach. The Yisr Tzira then goes until the Avos HaOimer. It sounds like there's a big difference when there could only be minutes separating those two zmanim. The name of the Mishnah does make it so distinctly separate. It must be that while Tzira is mutter already at night, sometimes they would cut right after Avdallah, and the Yisr Achila is really much further on, during the day, late into the day, only after the Mak of the Karban. Taisus is bothered by this pshat. First of all, Taisus says, according to Rashi, we learn the Mandiyamar Kaidim Ksiras HaOimer that it means the morning. One Mandiyamar says the morning, and the other Mandiyamar says you can start eating the Oimer by the Akrav. But nowhere in this Gemara do we see the word morning. We see Kaidim Ksiras HaOimer. And Rashi says Kaidim Ksiras HaOimer means the morning, because right after the time for Ksiras HaOimer, it's morning. So why beat around the bush? If this Mandiyamar really meant morning, he should have said in the morning. Kaidim Ksiras HaOimer sounds like at night. Now, furthermore, what's the Gemara's kasha? According to the Mandiyamar, it's in the morning, so why does the Mishnah make two separate time zones out of it? The Mishnah has to make two separate time zones. The fact is, the Heter Ktsira is at night, and the Heter Achila is not until the next morning. Fine, sometimes they cut right near the morning, but sometimes they cut right after Avdallah. So why the Mishnah makes two separate times out of it, that shouldn't be a kasha. The Mishnah, even according to this Mandiyamar, there's enough of a reason to make two separate times. But maybe let's go back and see the Gemara now through the eyes of Taisus. First of all, according to Taisus' Gersa, the Gemara's Kashi is not my Koidim L'Yoyimit, but the Gemara's Kashi is my Koidim L'Pesach. The Mishnah said that one is prohibited to cut the new Tfuah up until Pesach. Fek de Gemara, what does this mean? At what point in Pesach can I start cutting? So the whole Kashi of the Gemara is different according to Taisus. According to Rashi, we wanted to know when we can eat. According to Taisus, we want to know when we can cut. And in response to this, Rabbi Yossi Bar Zavda says that the gears is in the Shita, Kaidim Ksiras HaOimer. The Yisr for you personally to cut your own tefillah goes up until the time that they cut their Oimer, and that is Mitzray Pesach. Mitzray Pesach, once the Oimer is cut, we can cut our tefillah. And Rabbi Yoina says that the gears is in the Shita, Kaidim Havas HaOimer. We cannot cut our tefillah until the amak of the yomer. They cut the yomer matzah Pesach, but we have to wait with cutting until the actual haksav of the yomer. That's the machloikis. Not when we can eat, when we can cut. According to the way Rashi learned, you couldn't say that cutting siras yomer means matzah Pesach, because there is no such a sheet of you can start eating the yomer matzah Pesach. Kemat a whole day before the akrava. So Rashi had to learn that kaidim ksiras ha'ayim means in the morning. But if you're saying the Gemara is referring to ksira, the time for heter ksira, so fine, you're allowed to start cutting matzah Pesach. What's wrong with that? One man the yomer says mitzvay Pesach, the other man the yomer says you can't start cutting until the makar of the yomer. Straight is the Gemara. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah. Asuin b'chadash lifnei yomer. Again, that's the guess of the Shita. It is also to eat the Chadash until the Yomer, the Likzer, and it's also to cut with the Pesach. Two separate time zones. Frek the Gemara. Bishloim granted Lamandi Yomer, and here too Taisus changes the Gersa. Granted according to the Mandi Yomer, Koidim Ksiras Yomer, who says that you can start cutting the Tua Metzai Pesach after Avdallah. As soon as they cut their Tua for the Yomer, you can cut your personal Tua. According to this man, the Yomer Haini Delaika Arav Lu Vitani Lu, that's where the Mishnah has to make two separate statements out of it, because the Heter Ksira comes to us, Mitzvah Yantif, and the Heter Achila does not come until the next day. Therefore, the Mishnah says, one goes until Pesach, and the other Issa goes until the Yomer. El, the man, the Yomer, but according to the man, the Yomer, and again over here, Taisus reverses the Gersa. The cash is on the man, the Yomer, Kaidim Havasa Yomer, if you can't cut the Yomer as well as eat the Yomer until they are actually mak of the carbon, so why does the Mishnah give two separate definitions of the Yatir for Ksira and Achila? The Mishnah should have put it together and learn in one sentence, Asuin the Chadash, it's also to eat the Chadash, the Likzer, and it's also to cut Lifnei HaPesach. Or for that matter, Lifnei Yomer, it doesn't make a difference. The point is, it should be the same, because according to this man, the Yomer, Hakravas Yomer, the same time, brings on the Heter, is the green light for both eating and cutting. And in that we could not possibly explain, according to this Mandi Yomer, why the Mishnah should divide the times. Ellen says the Gemara, you're right. Both according to Rashi and Taisus, we have to change. We apply this Machlokes elsewhere. Yitma as Seifa Yitma. We apply it to another part of the Mishnah. In the Shrishu Kaidim Liyomer, if it took root before the Yomer, who Yomer Matiran? Mai Kaidim Liyomer. Now the Gemara's Kasha. Precisely when does it have to take root to make it in time that this year's Yomer should be Matarit? If Yaisi Bazavda, the Gears of the Shita, if Yaisi Bazavda says Kaidim Havas Yomer, it has to take root before the Akrava. And Rabbi Yain is now being more machmir, and he says, Kaidim Ksiras Yomer. It has to take root before we cut the Yomer. If it takes root afterwards, it's too late.